There's a developing story. Today, the FBI indicted 10 people in connection with a widespread fraud and bribery scheme that involves agents, coaches, and a sports apparel company. Some are calling it the biggest scandal in college basketball history. John Gassaway of ESPN joins us to talk about it. Hello, John. How are you?
I'm good, Bob. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us. What is interesting here is the apparel company is Adidas. Their stock today was down 2.44%. I can't imagine there would be any other reason than this story for that to happen, but I don't want to get too deep into speculation on that topic. Give us, if you will, a brief synopsis of what the FBI has uncovered.
Well, I think that you hit some of the highlights rather well, but the FBI, working with the Justice Department, has been running this investigation now for over 2 years. And today they brought charges, and they emphasized that the investigation is ongoing. It's just we know about it now. But what they found so far, as you said, was that assistant coaches at four college basketball programs, ranging from really good ones to not so good ones, were taking money from a financial advisor and a sports agent, respectively, and pocketing that and forwarding a little bit of it to the players themselves in return for steering those players toward these advisors. And then the second set of charges similarly found, as you said, that Jim Gatto, who is the head of global sports marketing for Adidas, was paying six-figure sums, the authorities said, directly to player families in order to get those players to commit to programs, and one of them that's been named as Louisville, that do business with Adidas and are supported by Adidas. So it's, as you said, it's pretty weighty stuff here.
Now, not to go too far into this, but it's my understanding, and I don't know whether I'm right or not, I don't know if you can tell me, but the allegation is also that the commitment is beyond high school, beyond college, and into the pros. In other words, either the contract or the implication is that these athletes would be committed to Adidas even when they turn professional. Is that your understanding?
Absolutely. That's my understanding, and that is certainly the hope of somebody in the position of Adidas or any such shoe company that may indulge in such behavior. And as far as the sports agents and the financial advisors, obviously they get no benefit from hanging around these young athletes when they're in college, given the prohibition on any such relationships. They're just counting on being in the right place when these athletes turn pro and then becoming paid advisors to them.
Now, this hit the college scene like a firestorm today, and the colleges seem to be taking it really seriously too. I noticed one of the coaches' name was Tony Bland at USC, and I think they've already brought in Louis Free. He used to work in the federal government to investigate what's going on there. So once you get that kind of immediate reaction, John, you get the sense of these schools know, A, this is serious, and B, the ramifications, and including, and it sounds like the one they're talking about mostly could be Louisville, the possible death penalty here could really impact some of these schools.
It's a very curious case where the size of the scandal, as you said, possibly the biggest such scandal in American college sports, is defined equally, if not more so, by the authorities than it is by the underlying behavior, because there's a lot of sentiment saying, you know, these are not the only shoes to drop. These are not the worst such actions that have been rumored or that we've heard of. This goes on all the time, et cetera, et cetera. But it's fascinating because that talk has been ubiquitous for years, even decades. And it's as if fans, journalists, players, coaches, the NCAA have all been in the backseat of a car for a long time arguing with each other. And suddenly mom and or dad's turned around the front seat and swatted, and we just didn't see it coming and said, no, this is a federal crime. So that ratchets up the scale and the magnitude of this dramatically.
One of the other coaches' name was Chuck Person at Auburn. Of course, we know Chuck Person, pretty significant NBA career. Any idea or It does strike you as odd that we're only talking about assistant coaches and not head coaches at these programs. I mean, is it possible that assistant coaches were doing things that head coaches at those schools didn't know about?
Well, the phrase plausible deniability comes up. People have been avidly reading these affidavits ever since they came online at about 9 or 10 o'clock Eastern this morning. And there's one great quote from an assistant coach saying, you know, I've got to take care of this because my head coach, he's got his own money, and he doesn't want to know about stuff like this. And, you know, to greater or lesser extents, that has been the way that it is understood that these kinds of alleged activities do work. Certainly no head coach would be caught dead sending an email saying, hey, pay $10,000 to this highly rated prospect. That's not going to happen. They're not going to find that. What will be interesting to see is perhaps whether or not under pressure of these incredibly serious indictments, an assistant coach might be willing to say more than what the FBI has already found out and tell further details about what his head coach knew and when he knew it.
You mentioned James Gatto, the director of global marketing for Adidas Basketball, and he has been indicted, I understand. And yet, Adidas pays the University of Louisville $160 million over 10 years for them to wear Adidas apparel. This apparently doesn't contravene any rules or regulations in the NCAA, which I think you should find, everybody should find a little curious, not illegal necessarily, but curious. And then, you know, there's a stance that can be taken here that, that's a deal, there's nothing wrong with that. But then as soon as you pay the high school athlete to attend that particular school, all of a sudden that's breaking a law. Is it?
Well, for any latecomers to this conversation, American college sports, particularly the revenue sports of American football and basketball, are indeed an odd amalgam. They are very much mass spectator sports. The contract for the television rights, the NCAA tournament, runs into the billions of dollars.
Right.
And yet players themselves are expected to remain amateurs. So it's an interesting case, no doubt about it. However, there, you do have many of these professional-like elements, including the numbers that you rehearse, where Louisville is paid, you know, not out of line with, certainly not in the same ballpark, but kidding there if with what you might see in NFL or a Premier League franchise that strikes a similar contract with a shoe company. So this money that they rake in has to find somewhere to go. And in the American system, typically that has been into astronomical coach salaries for the stars, larger and larger administrative staffs to the point of almost a comically large bureaucracy, and specifically more and more ornate and beautiful and over-the-top facilities and practice fields and other such arenas for these sports to be played, everywhere except the players themselves.
Well, but there's a difference, though, I think you would acknowledge, between NCAA regulations, which they essentially create themselves, and the laws of the land. Are these two definitively separated in these indictments?
What's fascinating to me has been the extent to which, because this system has been in place for decades, you would not think this would be the case, and you might not support this being the case. But the truth of the matter is, NCAA bylaws have, in a de facto way, flowed uphill to become statute law. This is a great example, because the NCAA says you can't do this, then by law, what is happening when Adidas says here's $100,000, that crosses the line into a bribe. Now, if ESPN says, hey, John Gassaway, we want you to come work for us, here's a stack of money, is that a bribe? We understand that as a salary. It does matter what the local governing authority is saying.
Wow.
and what the lay of the land is.
That's pretty scary,
so,
isn't it? It's pretty dangerous.
You know, these I don't want to get into law school hypotheticals here.
No, no, but
there are some pretty fine lines. But I mean, there is that general tendency. And another example I would use is that many American states have laws on their books about what sports agents can do with relation to amateur athletes. Now, that is purely an outgrowth of the NCAA and its lobbying muscle. But if you violate those laws, you are violating, you know, the sovereign laws of that state. So it's a very interesting mess that we've got here.
I wonder, John, if some of, I mean, this seems like a natural offshoot of what we've been seeing for years, and that is elite basketball talent in the United States and even some Canadian players get funneled into these camps and these teams, Adidas and all these different things, where they're already being kind of directed to certain companies, certain wearing certain gear, et cetera, et cetera. And so for this to sort of continue on, in a way, is the logical conclusion of the outgrowth of those camps.
Absolutely. And I don't know if the answer is as simple as we say, you know, this is a violation of NCAA longstanding tradition and rules, therefore it's wrong. And then we change those rules and traditions, and suddenly it's no longer has this faintly seamy air, but instead it's like a really talented Brazilian football in the traditional, meaning soccer sense, player being signed at 15 or 16 or 17. Nobody bats an eye when those players are groomed and signed at the same teenage age. And with luck, they make fantastic salaries right away. I root for some of them for my club myself. And somehow it's just different in the American revenue sports. So we do have that tradition. And maybe today reinforces that, or maybe it begins to change it. It will be interesting to see.
We have some news that I think is breaking. I don't know if you've heard this or not. Forbes is, Darren Heitner at Forbes magazine is reporting, basketball agency ASM Sports has been raided. They were raided today. Whoa. The FBI had a warrant, and they took Andy Miller's computer. Miller is the agent for Kyle Lowry, Serge Ibaka, and Kristaps Porzingis, among others. And it's presumed that this raid was related to the topic we are discussing. It appears the FBI is getting very serious here.
Yes, and absolutely. It's a fascinating thing because, again, this goes back a couple years now. So, I mean, among other things, it spans very different presidential administrations otherwise. And it reflects a real commitment and important decision by higher authorities that they have really decided to land with both feet on this. I will be interested. It will definitely change day-to-day conduct. It already has, and I've remarked kind of tongue-in-cheek about how different next year's recruiting class is going to be in terms of what incentives are floated in front of them. But I will be interested to see the larger response to this decision. I really will be.
And maybe just to wrap this up with a bit of a hypothetical, because you touched on it earlier, and that is the fact that it is becoming increasingly the subject of some debate about whether athletes, NCAA athletes, should be paid. And you have to wonder when you get this kind of thing, and if it goes to the most extreme conclusion and people go to jail, et cetera, and schools get the death penalty, you wonder if it would hasten the move towards athletes being compensated, because that would take away the potential to some degree for this kind of scandal.
Exactly. And as a closing point, I would suggest that there are many points in between where we are now, which is a more or less total prohibition on any kind of consideration going to the athlete, and a truly open free market where anything goes. And one such that has been bandied about in the middle is, for lack of a better term, the Olympic model, where these young athletes can strike whatever bargains they can in the way of endorsements. They can even sign with an agent, but they're not paid a salary directly from the school. Instead, their monies are put into a trust fund that they get when they graduate. That kind of thing. So
yeah, we talked a lot about that.
Maybe we can revisit the discussion now that we've had a good impetus from the federal authorities.
Last point. this is an investigation conducted by and executed by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, a government agency. And one of the first things people jumped on was, why hasn't the NCAA done anything about this? Why is the governing body of college sports unwilling, uninvolved in this entire process?
Uninformed?
What do you make of the long-term implications of that question?
You know, in a quick reading of the affidavits, I would suggest that certainly the most salacious parts of them, and possibly even, though I'm not a lawyer, the most legally troublesome excerpts came from wiretaps, which the NCAA most certainly does not have the power to get to happen. And indeed, if the NCAA did, you would see such a an outcry as you've never seen before.
Well, they'd be essentially illegal.
The federal government has powers that the NCAA lacks, and we're seeing the proof of that today in vivid terms.
It is a fascinating story, and we're just at the very beginning of it, I suspect. We thank you for your time today. It was most interesting, and we'll I hope we'll talk down the road. Thank you, John.
Sounds good, gentlemen. Thank you so much.